Here are the Apostle Paul's last point, is that we need to be discerning or have spiritual discernment. Well, you've heard that in the pastoral prayer, heard some of the things he said. And yes, Ray, we can't look at the Word of God enough. We'll look at the same verses again today, because those verses in Ephesians and Hebrews and those kind of things are really encouraging us to see that God wants us to be discerning. We need to examine things. You need to be able to judge rightly, that he wants us to look at the things in our life, holding it up to the Word of God, holding it up to the truth of Scripture, and have some discernment what's going on. In verses 21 and 22 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul says to examine everything, hold fast to which is good, to abstain from every form of evil. So we need to be discerning. In Matthew 16, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They're the religious elite of the day. They proclaim that they knew the truth. They proclaim that they know God's truth and what's going on. But listen to what Jesus had to say to them in Matthew 16, verse 1 through 4. He said, the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and they were testing Jesus, and they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But Jesus replied and said to them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? It's the Lord Jesus Christ standing in front of them, the Messiah, the rescuer, the deliverer, the Savior of the world, and they're like, oh, give us a sign. We don't know who you are. We don't believe who you are. If God would give us a sign, we would know what's going on. You could see, you say, man, you guys got no discernment. And then he writes this. An evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and the sign will not be given to them except the sign of Jonah. The sign of Jonah was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the sign. Jesus is saying that, hey, your problem's simple. Your non-scientific knowledge of how to tell the weather exceeds your spiritual discernment on what's going on in the world. You really don't have any. Luke 12, Luke records another story, another interaction, another occasion where Jesus with some other people in verses 54 through 57, Jesus is addressing a crowd. I want you to listen to what he had to say. He said, and he, Jesus, was also saying to the crowds, when you see the cloud rising in the west, immediately you say a shower's coming, and so it turns out. And when you see a south wind blowing, you say it will be a hot day, and it turns out that way, you hypocrites. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but why do you not analyze the present time? Why do you not see what's going on? Why don't you not recognize what's going on in the world and who Christ is and what this is happening? And you have no discernment. You hypocrites, he says. And why do you not even on your own initiative judge what is right? We're not even going to on our own initiative judge what's right. We're not even having discernment. We're not going to look right or wrong. We're just going to go with whatever gets our way. They were talking in the text. Again, the Lord confronts the lack of spiritual discernment. You're not even being discerning. You're not even judging what's right. In Hebrews chapter 5, which Ray read today, and I'm glad you did, Ray, because like I said, we can't have the truth of God's word in our heart enough. Hebrews chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews is speaking to the Jewish believers in Christ, and he's teaching them the truths of the Lord's sacrifice. That's what he's doing. He's telling them about those kind of things. Verse 7 through 11, listen to what he's teaching. He says, in the days of his flesh, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he offered up both prayers and supplication with a loud crying and tears to the one who's able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. Although he was a son, those are capitalized, he's the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation, being destined by God as the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. We would, like, that's an incredible passage. He's made perfect, he became to all of us who obey him the source of eternal salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's teaching them what the sacrifice of Christ did. And he said in verse 11 concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. You are not listening and responding to what God says. In fact, you're not even discerning what God has to say. You're just dull of hearing. God says this, you don't even respond. So the writer of Hebrews is talking about discernment. He said, we teach you more, but you become dull of hearing. No discernment until when you hear the truth. You don't even know if it is, and then you have no response when you do hear the truth. Now listen to verse 12 through 14 as the writer of Hebrews goes on. He says this, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, For he's an infant. He's immature, right? But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Did you hear what he said? Because of your lack of maturity in the church, it causes a lack of discernment to what's right, what's good, what's pure, what's righteous and true, opposed to what is sin, wrong, and false. One of the authors, as I was studying on this and reading much on this, he wrote this concerning the lack of discernment in the Lord's church today. He says, the modern church has become a free-flowing marketplace of ideas where countless notions about truth abound. Christians urge fellow believers to avoid a dogmatic approach to the biblical truth and instead tolerate all sorts of aberrant beliefs that are in direct conflict with the Word of God, with the Scriptures. Truth is seen nowadays is in the eye of the beholder. That's exactly what Paul is exhorting not to let happen in the church, not let to happen in your life. That's exactly what he's exhorting. He's saying in your relationship with God, you have a responsibility not to let that happen in your life. Truth isn't in the eye of the beholder. It's in the Word of God, and God has spoken clearly. We're to understand what he has to say. It's not relevant to whatever what people want it to be or that kind of thing. God has the definitive truth. We're to examine, discern what we learn and how we learn what is true, what is good. We're to hold fast to, and we're to learn what is evil, what is false, and we're to stay away from, is what Paul's talking about. Listen, the postmodern culture which you live in today has influenced and infiltrated the church. This culture has an ideology, and you see it all over the planet. You look at it all the time. It has an ideology that truth is relevant to the beholder. You have your truth, I have my truth, just tolerate each view. It's unloving not to tolerate each view. No discerning on what's actually true, no discernment of what's absolute truth. In fact, there really isn't, or it really doesn't matter if there is. Only what matters is what's true to you or to me. That's what it does. How's that infiltrated the Lord's church? It's to say that God's truth can vary. It's not definitive. It can be interpreted differently to fit each one's theology or each one's view. So when God's word says this is what's true in Scripture, some interpret it to fit their view of God, others interpret it to fit their view of God, and they interpret God's word to say what it doesn't say because we need it to fit my view of God. That's what's infiltrated the church. That's what the church is in America today. 50% of the churches would even affirm what I just had to say. Yeah, that's a way to read God's word. Paul, here in the text, says, in your relationship with God, we're to be discerning. We can't let that happen. We're to hold fast to what's good, righteous, true, noble, right, and abstain from the other. And here's the interesting thing. If you don't tolerate these other views, these other things, and how people do that, the first thing they'll say to you is that you're unloving. That's not true. It's never loving to let your child believe that God isn't who he said he is. You think that's loving, then you're not loving God. It is not loving to let your child believe what they believe about God and then just say, well, you know, that's what they view, so let's just let them believe that. That encourage them, help them to believe that. That's not loving them. We would all see that definitively clear, and on it goes. No discernment to what is right, noble, true, or wrong, sinful, false, or evil. Little or no discernment. I want you to listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones correctly. He correctly realized in the early 70s, wrote some books concerning the church's drifting from spiritual discernment because of the postmodern culture's influence of it. And I'm telling you right now, this isn't like beginning. This is 70s going on. This has infiltrated most of the evangelical churches. This is how they see it. God's word says we're to have discernment. He says this, because of the postmodern culture influence on the Christian church, he writes in his book, Fight the Fight of Faith, he says there's a very obvious reaction at the present time against intellectualism. There is found among the students in America increasingly in the United States, reason is being distrusted and set on one side. He says, a liberal theologian, Proclaimskite, says this, many are saying that our troubles are due to the fact that we have overdeveloped brains. We're thinking too much. We're getting too much understanding and knowledge of God. We must listen more to our blood and go back to our nature, and so turning against intellectualism and deliberately espousing the creed of irrationality, they yield themselves to the desire for experience and place sensation above understanding. What matters is feeling and enjoyment, not thought. Pure thought leads nowhere. That's in the church. MacArthur writes, if anything, such cultural tendencies have only become more pronounced, and real discernment is now largely absent from most segments of the evangelical church. That's true. Real discernment doesn't exist. We'll be looking at that. This topic of spiritual discernment is such of importance, I'm going to spend three messages on it. We're going to walk our way through the sixth point about our relationship with the Lord, get some foundational things understood and acknowledged and that kind of thing, and look at what God's Word's saying here. But I'm going to give two more after this because it's such of importance as I've dug into that us in our heart and mind to recognize God wants us to discern what's going on in the world, what's going on in life, what we're doing in our life, what God says to everything that's going on, and he wants us to discern where we're at, what's happening in our lives, what we're believing, what we're trusting, and recognize when God identifies for us what is good, noble, honest, true, and right, he wants us to hold fast to, and what we recognize that is wrong, sinful, and evil, he wants us to abstain from. So we have to have discernment first before we can tell the difference. Amen? That's what we're going to dig into. We're going to get in God's Word in this. And we'll dig down to spiritual discernment. So look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 22. And remember, starting at verse 16, Paul has been listing these basics for Christian living concerning our responsibility in relationship with God. We've been covering this, but these are our responsibilities to God. He says this, verse 16, we're to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We're not to quench the Holy Spirit. We're not to despise prophetic utterances. We're to examine everything carefully, hold fast the which is good, abstain from every form of evil. This is really a magnificent, masterful summation of the components of what it looks like in Christian living. Very concise, early church, probably third book of the Bible, of the New Testament written. Paul is writing the Holy Spirit's writing through Paul, something very masterful summation. I did that last week. In our responsibility with the Lord, we are to live in constant joy. We're to be in constant prayer, constant communication with God. We're to be constantly thankful, live in thankfulness before the Lord. It's God's will for us. We're to never quench the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, never stifle God's maturing work in our lives as believers. We're to never despise, look down on the truth of God's word, but we're to exalt it, obey it, and honor God's word, and we are to examine everything so we can discern what is good from what is evil, discern what is true from what is false. There's basic Christian living. Find your joy in the Lord. Talk to God about life all the time. Let him guide and lead you through the Word of God. Communicate everything to him, right? Have a heart of gratitude in this life. Be thankful for everything because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, right? Don't stifle or quench the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. God's Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, wants to grow our life, mature our lives to be more Christ-like, show us the truth. Walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. You walk by the flesh, you're going to carry out the desires of the flesh. No, none of us want to do that, so we can't quench the work of the Holy Spirit. We can't despise the Word of God. We can't despise the Scriptures being exposited, being explained, being taught, being uttered. We can't look down on it with contempt. We got to apply it to our life, obey it, honor it. And you're going to examine everything in life. Look at it, and you're going to have discernment of what God says, and you're to hold fast to what is good. You're abstaining what's evil. That makes sense? Come on, you guys, that makes sense? Boy, that's simple Christianity, isn't it? Discernment's hard, isn't it? You got your flesh in the way, right? Let me tell you this. Golf is good. I believe golf's good, so I should play golf, and I should hold fast to playing golf, and so golf's good, it's not evil, and let me tell you, God says, no, the way you have it in your heart and mind, the way you're neglecting your family, the way you're putting this as a priority over the things else you've got in your life, let me tell you, for you, Ken, golf is evil. See, you got to have discernment. You can't make a list. Everybody can eat ice cream. Can everybody in the room eat ice cream? I can't eat ice cream, right? For some of us, we would declare it, yeah, it's evil, man. You ought to see what it does to me. See, discernment, right? And so discernment isn't always by experience. Because this discernment from God's truth, discernment is, well, if it works, if it makes me happier, makes me better, then my discernment is good. That's what God's word says is true. And God says, no, that's not true, so it's evil. You see what we're talking about? And the Christian church has lost its way. It's all about what I read you what it was about. I'm going to stay out of there because I could go right on to all the study that I went on all of that. We got to stay with our text this morning. God wants us to be able to discern. We're going to look at the text, interpret what God is saying, and what God's word means, how it applies to our life. Paul says, first, examine everything. That's the word. Examine is dokimaz in the Greek. In your outline, this is what it means. It means to try, to prove, to discern, to distinguish, to approve. It has the notion of proving a thing, whether it is worthy or not, examining to judge or discern. Now, for you to discern, for you to distinguish, for you to prove that something is worthy, something is noble, holy, righteous, good, true, right, those kind of things, you're going to need God's truth to help you in that, aren't you? It's not left up to you, is it? It's just whatever you think's good, whatever you think's righteous, you distinguish. Well, you know, you're going to have God help you, right? Now you see why the enemy came in and said, no, God's truth doesn't mean anything. It's just whatever's true to you. Now you have no discernment what's really true because it becomes what's true to you instead of what's true to God. It's called man-centered theology. I'm going to tell you right now, man-centered theology is to be abstained from because it is, what's the word of God say? There's not about opinions. This isn't good to let people have opinions. Well, I think God's like this. Well, I'm sorry, God's word doesn't say he's like this. Well, I interpret that God is like this, and other people teach us like that. Well, you got to get definitive. You got to get into it, the text, and you got to get into what God says, because if God is like this over here and God is like that over there and this and what they say over there, then the word of God isn't definitive, and the word of God is wishy-washy, and then we have a God that couldn't even decide who he is, and then he can't even speak to people in their life to be united and one for us to understand who he is. And let me tell you, Titus 1, God cannot lie. And if we're saying God's lying because you think he's this way and you think he's that way and you think he's this way and you think he's that way, and then we're just going to tolerate for the sake of love, we don't want to be confrontive, God says, wow, that's evil. And we don't in our hearts most of the time look at it that way. It's unloving to let somebody believe an untruth. There you go. And God defines it as evil. Ooh, man, that just hit America right across the chin, didn't it? Knocked it right on the ground. That's a Mike Tyson blow. Boom. God said it's evil. Well, I don't know what God's word says definitively. I don't really know what it is. Dig into the word of God, show yourself approved by God. His discernment. See why I'm getting into this? This is coming fast, folks. This is just going to be what it is. It's whatever we want it to be. We're to examine, to judge, and discern. You could say test everything to discern what it is. Distinguish between what is true and false, what is right and wrong, what is good and evil. Teach your kids that, right? Come on, parents, right? Is that true? Is that right? Is that good? Is that noble? Or is that wrong? Teach them according to God's word, right? That's what we want to teach them. Well, that makes people look like they're, you know, that kind of puts down people. Work with them on that. No, we're to be loving and caring. But let me tell you, you're not loving anybody by letting them believe in error. Especially in error about God and his truth. There's one way to Christ, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anybody that lets anybody believe that there's more than one way, God calls, starts with an E. Boy, that's confrontive, isn't it? Well, I was just trying to be loving. Well, then love them and tell them the only way to salvation is through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only loving thing to do. And you don't have to hammer the truth, love, right? Both hands. But we've gotten they got some sort of truth. And so I'll just, you guys see where I'm going, don't you? Very important part of Christian living. 1 John 4:1 says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Here is the spirits he's talking about by the rest of the verse, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. You need to test them. You need to examine them. You need to distinguish. You need to discern. You need to understand if they're worthy or not. You need to examine, to judge or discern. There's false teaching going on everywhere. And God didn't ask us to hold it fast, to embrace it wholeheartedly. He's told us to abstain from it, for it is sin. So here's what John is saying. Don't believe every teacher or what they teach. Examine what they teach. How would you examine what they teach so you could discern right from wrong, truth from error, good from evil? One tool you have, the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit working in your life. No wonder why the enemy of God has infiltrated God's church to a postmodern ideology. We don't have the Scriptures. We have opinions of Scriptures. And it's unloving for you to hold me accountable to my opinion of Scriptures. Let me ask you, you guys know that's going on in the world? Have you experienced that through friends and family and through other things going on? Help me. Am I just preaching to me? What's God want us to do? We're going to be loving and caring. But if we just, that's what they believe. Let God work that out. Sometimes that's where God would lead us. But it came to take away discernment. In fact, the lessons of our study in self-confrontation this morning, Sunday morning, the lesson encouraged us to discern between man-centered theology, which is false, compared to God-centered theology or God's centered understanding of truth. It's called man's way versus God's way. I'm going to tell you right this, man's way is good. I mean, God's way is good, right? Almost got that wrong. Yeah, man's way is good. Go, Ken. Go. Hey, that's evil if I'm doing that, okay? Man's way is not an option. That's what I want you to get. It's not an option. It's not a biblical option. It's not another way God teaches the body of Christ. It's not another way that God leads the body of Christ. It's evil. There you go. Wow, Ken, you're just right. Yeah. Because that's what God's word says. Man's theology, man-centered theology, man's way of wisdom, of who God is, what he does, and that which leads to it, it's about experience and about going back to nature and going back to that feeling, that's about that. It's not an option. It's false. And we have to address that. You have to discern that. Am I getting a little harsh? Our lesson said this morning, you need to understand the difference between man's way and God's way in your search for a contented, joyful, and peaceful life. The primary difference is that man's way is oriented to self, pleasing self, to comfort self, to rely on self, to fulfill self, to forgive self, to exalt self, to love self. This is a description of the old nature that we had, that God set aside and gave you new life in Christ. And now you are in a God-centered theology, a Christ-centered theology. You're to glorify God and grow in your life to be Christ-like. It's not about your satisfaction. It's about God's pleasure, being pleased. That's the truth of God's word. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians 5 again. Let's go through that again. Let's just look at what the Apostle Paul is saying. Let's learn from the word of God how he wants us to be discerning. And that's what we're going to dig into today. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying. We're to examine everything. Ephesians 5 again. We'll look at verses 3 through 10. Just let me read them again to you. Here the Apostle Paul, he's talking about, like Ray said, being imitators of God. But when he says being imitators of God or lovers like God, or in verse 10 that we're learning to please the Lord, then what it would be, we're identifying, we're examining, we're using discernment. Don't let any impurity or immorality or greed must not even be named among you as proper among the saints. Now, you understand, you have to discern what is immoral, what is impurity, what is greed, and there should be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse gesturing, which are not fitting, but rather a giving of thanks. So he gives us a contrast of what we'd be doing. But you have to have discernment. What's coarse gesturing? What is that, God? God, is that in my life? I need you to show me that's in my life, right? The Holy Spirit, through his word, showing you what that is. And then he says this, for this you know with certainty. We all know with certainty. Don't we know with certainty? That if this is your life pattern, this is your consistent character, that you know immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you. Well, who's going to try to deceive us? Who's going to try to trick you that God's word didn't say that? Who's going to tell you, oh, it's not about that, it's about something else? Let no one deceive you with empty words. discern. What they're teaching you, what they're telling you, what they're saying is empty words. They're not the word of God. They're not true. Because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Got to have discernment. You joining in? For we were formerly of darkness. I was just like them. I was darkness, didn't know any of the difference. But now I'm light in the Lord, so are you. We're children of light. The fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Now, that's interesting. Trying to learn. Guess what word that is? Dokamaz. Examine. How are you going to learn what's pleasing the Lord if you don't examine life? Just make it up as you go, or feel what it feels good, or am I pleasing the Lord today? Well, examine. Examine it. Examine your life. Examine things going on in the Lord. Am I trying to learn to please the Lord? I love that. Trying to learn, right? I am trying to learn to live my life that's pleasing to the Lord. In trying to learn, God's going to show me where I need to learn. Amen? All right, that's what he's going to do in our life. He's going to work in our life. It's not that you are doing everything pleasing the Lord. Guess what? Nobody's close in here. Okay? Every day you're trying to learn. You're having discernment. To learn, you have to have discernment, right? We could take many things. You want to learn how to field a ground ball? I can show you some things here. Right? And you could have discernment. Yeah, Pastor Ken, he probably fielded a ground ball pretty good. He was a pretty decent baseball player. I'll try to learn. I'll try to do what he does. Right? Or should we get somebody up here who's never played baseball and said, let me teach you how to field a ground ball? And it's like, well, I can't learn from you. It's not true. You're just making it up as you go. You see what I'm talking about? That's what Paul is talking about. That's what we're talking about. We're trying to learn what's pleasing to the Lord. Discerning the way of you, is it pleasing to the Lord or is it just self-gratification going on? Paul says, examine everything. Examine everything. Everything is all. What is the all? Look at your outline. It includes every issue and every idea that might confront believers. It's everything, guys. Hold it up to whatever it is. Hold it up to the light of God's word. Examine it, discern it. Is it pleasing to the Lord? Is it honoring God's word? Is it right or wrong? Or is it true and false? Now, once you have discerned it, listen to what Paul says. Hold fast to which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. You have to have discernment first. You have to have discernment. That's why I'm going to spend a couple more weeks in discernment, because this is important. There's a choice you make from spiritual discernment. If you have little discernment, you won't discern well what is good and what is evil. And in our humanity, what we fall to is what works. Our discernment is, that makes me feel all right. That's how I want it to be. That's going to give me what I want. That's not hard to do. All of us that said we can't eat ice cream, the discernment came from probably sickness. Pain is a teacher, isn't it? Came from sickness, and like, I got discernment, can't eat ice cream anymore. And I got the discernment from something happening in my life that revealed to me that it was harmful. You don't want to learn that way in everything about the Lord. You don't want the harmful things coming along until you get discernment that that's not it, because the enemy's deceptive. For to hold fast means to embrace wholeheartedly, to take possession of, to make it your way. Take possession to that which is good. Good, kalos in the Greek, means things pertaining to positive, godly, moral quality. Discern things that pertain to positive, godly, moral quality. Things within themselves that are good, genuine, true, noble, right. Look back at Ephesians verse 8, chapter 5. You were formerly darkness. You're now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Did you get that? There you go. There's goodness. Are these choices that you make, that I make, things that you do, that I do, ways of you, truths you believe, do they consist of what is good, righteous, and truth? Have you discerned that they are pleasing to God, pleasing to the Lord? Embrace them wholeheartedly. That's what he says. Hold fast to what's good. Hang on to it. Embrace it. The enemy might come and tell you it's not. Your flesh may come and tell you it's not. The world may come and tell you it's not. Those three things I don't want to listen to. God, the Holy Spirit, God himself speaks to my new life in Christ. The world sometimes myself, and the enemy of God speak to my flesh. I'm learning how to deny my flesh and listen to God in my new life in Christ. And you're to abstain from every form of evil. Abstain, strong word in the Greek. It means hold oneself away from, like the English word abstinence. Abstinence is like not one time, right? In abstinence, not one time? Yeah? So abstain from this. Don't get involved in this. And then if you get in there, get out of there, right? It means to shun. You might want to write that down. That's really a good word. Shun every form of evil. It means complete separation from what is deemed or discerned to be evil in behavior and teaching. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God of you, will of God, your sanctification." Then it says this, that is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Have complete separation from it. Shun it. Hold oneself away from. It's wrong. It's sin. You discern it. Write this down. Evil here refers to something that is actively harmful. Write that down. Actively harmful. Evil refers to something that's actively harmful, which includes moral perversion, moral conduct, lies, and distortions of the truth. Any distortion of God's truth is evil. It's not another opinion. I'm going to say that many times as we go on through here because the postmodern culture has infiltrated the church and we have a bunch of opinions that should be valid and worthy because we believe it here. And nobody has the discernment to be able to say that's not what God's word says. I'll show you a couple of illustrations today and we'll look at some more as we go along and you'll go, yeah, I haven't really seen it as that way. Evil here refers to something that's actual harmful, which includes moral perversion, moral conduct, lies, and distortions of the truth. Paul says you're to shun every form of it. Form means kind, sort, species, appearance, or shape. God's word is saying evil in any form, any shape, any sort, any appearance, any kind of evil. Once you discern that it's sin, you discern it as wrong or not true, according to God's word, see it as evil, shun it. Hold yourself far away from it. Spiritual discernment's important, isn't it? And the heart of what Paul is saying refers to the truth of God's word. Did you know that? That's what he's talking about. That's the heart of it in our relationship with God. That we would hold on to what is good in the word of God, the truth of God's word, that we'd wholeheartedly embrace it and hold on to it, and that we would abstain, that we'd just hold ourselves away from those aberrant teachings of God's word that aren't true, that sometimes our flesh even is drawn to, we would just stay away from it. That's what Paul's teaching. It's basic Christianity. It's one of the six things in our responsibility in our relationship with God. That's why once you put it in that context, this isn't something for the better Christian or the better church or the high people or anything like that. This is basic 1 Thessalonians, third book in the New Testament, what he's telling them, and he wants them to understand. This is the heart of it. God's truth gives you the discernment to what is good, genuine, mobile, and true, and what is evil and sinful and wrong and false. God's word does that. So shun what's false, hold fast to what's true. It's the same idea of Romans 12:9, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Have spiritual discernment. Let me just walk you through some things here to just dig down in this a little bit. Well, kind of how does this apply? 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2. I want you to kind of see this on how we're going to apply this and how God wants us to apply this in his word when it's like, okay, in my relationship with God, you know, I'm going to have discernment. I'm going to look at things. I'm going to examine them. I'm going to distinguish what's going on here, what's being taught here. Are we doing the right things here? Are we living, those kind of things. And no condemnation in Christ. God's growing us. But I want you to look at it in the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 15:1 and 2, Paul says, "Now I make known to you, brethren," right in the Corinthian church, "brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, in which you stand, by which you also were saved, if you hold fast the word which was preached to you, unless you believed it in vain." Now take what we're learning here. The truth of the gospel is good, isn't it? Is the truth of the gospel good? We want to hold fast to it? Do we want to in a whole heartedly embrace the truth of the gospel? Unless you don't. He said, unless you don't, you didn't really wholeheartedly embrace the truth of the gospel because something else came along and you just said, well, you know what, It's really not about repentance and belief. It's really not about confessing Jesus as Lord and believing in your heart, God raised him from the dead, that he's the Lord of my life, the authority of my life, that I repented from sin, I turned direction, I believed, I trusted in God to save me, rescue, deliver me. Now I follow him as my authority. I kind of got moved to where Jesus came because he loves us to give us all that we want here. Did you hold fast to the gospel? You see what we're talking about? You have to have discernment. If that's the gospel, you believe that God came down and gave his life so he could fulfill man's will, and your will is that you have a wonderful life. You need to repent and believe in Christ. You're not saved. This is what Paul, this is what's so important about this. It's not about opinions. It's not about what works. It's about God's truth. Titus 2, verse 6 and 7. You staying with me? Is this too intense? I'm excited about it. I've been going over this for a while, and I'm excited. This is so eye-opening and helping us in our life. We don't want to get scared or like we don't know or how could we find it. God will guide and lead us. God will be faithful to us. But we got to be discerning. Titus 2, verse 6 and 7. Jake and Brent, you guys will like this. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. That's what young men of faith is going to be. You guys got to be sensible. You got to quit doing that kind of unsensible stuff, right? You can't do that. Girls don't like it when you pull their hair. They don't like it when you throw stuff at them either. I know you like them, but quit throwing stuff at them. That's not how this works, okay? That's not sensible. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But listen to what he says. In all things, show yourselves to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine dignified. Be an example of genuine righteous deeds with purity of doctrine. Hold fast. Embrace that holy. Shun what's not that. Unpure doctrine is not good. That's how you would read that when you're examining something in the Word of God. That's how you do that. Let me give you another one. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4. This is a good men's group meeting. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier. Same word, good, noble, honorable, right, true, that kind of thing, right? Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Do you have any discernment what a good soldier of Christ Jesus is? Wouldn't you want to ask, what's a good soldier then, Paul? God, what's a good soldier? If the Word of God says we're going to suffer hardship as a good soldier, first of all, I'm going to have hard things. I'm a soldier. I've been enlisted. Listen to verse 4. It says, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. So you're looking at, you discern what a good soldier of Christ is in active service to the Lord, right? And if you're in active service and a good soldier, you're not entangled or taken away from serving the Lord, being overwhelmed in everyday life. You're wholeheartedly embracing and pleasing the one who enlisted you as a soldier. You see how you have discernment there in God's truth and what he's saying? You're discerned. It's evil. It's evil. It's not God's way. If you're entangled yourself in the affairs of everyday life and are not able to serve God and please the Lord with the way, what you're putting your life into. You see what I'm talking about? See, now we would read that verse and the us men that have a hard time say, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Gosh, everyday life has overwhelmed me, and it's been months since I've got to church. It's been half a year since I've done anything in the body of Christ. You know, I'm just trying to keep my head above the ground, and I'm looking at stuff, and it's like, oh, did I just hear what Ken said? He said, you know, my excuse, God says, is to be shunned for its, what is it? Oh, it's just a bad choice. I just can't make it. What did God call it? Come on, help me. We start dealing with things like that, we'll change. We'll start identifying it what God says it is. Now, God's patient and kind, loving. I don't want anybody to feel like, oh, my gosh, you know, like God is at work sanctifying us in our life. But see, we're sanctified by if we hold it up to the light of what really is true. That's what Paul is saying. That's what he's saying. 1 Peter 2, verse 11 and 12. Listen to this with what we're learning. Keep He says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against your soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing in which they're slandered you as evildoers," that's what the world does, "you live for the Lord and they call you evildoers. They may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." Now, you got to have discernment there, right? You have to discern what God's word says are fleshly lusts. Anybody want to give me a list right now this morning? It says abstain them. It says shun them, fleshly lusts. God, what are fleshly lusts? That thing you got going there, Ken. Really? Okay. I want to shun that. What's excellent behavior, Lord? What's good behavior? What's the light of Christ when they see it? In the day of visitation, when you come, because the good, same word, kalos in the Greek, the good things in my life, those things that are by God, they're genuine, holy, righteous, good, pleasing the Lord, those kind of things, they're going to see those kind of things, and they're, what's it say? And they're going to observe them and glorify God. You have to discern. You can't be left to yourself. Shoot, I think a bunch of things in my life are excellent behavior, but they're just about me and me getting what I want. How about you? Come on, help me. Is this really ministering to your heart? Is this hitting you and like, oh, wow, this is about life? Come on, help me. I need to know. Or it's like, oh, well, you know what? Today we didn't get anything in the Word of God today. This is so important. You're to shun the fleshly lusts and hold fast to godly behavior. You're examined to hold it up to the truth of God's word. Hold fast to which is good, godly, noble, righteous, right, and true. Shun every form of ungodly, sinful, perversion, moral conduct, perverted moral conduct, or perversion of the truth. God calls it evil. Discernment's important. Let me do an exercise real quick. We'll end with this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. We're going to do a discernment examining exercise. You guys ready? You guys are excited today. I'm ready, Pastor Ken. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm right in there. I'm ready. I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to do the discernment. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. See, there you go. I got some people listening. Well, I don't even know where I'm at. I want you to see how the ideology of the culture has impacted the Lord's church. Look at verse 9, beginning of verse 9. Paul's writing to them. They got some bad things going on. And he says, hey, do you not know that the unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Hey, you guys know that if the pattern of your life, if your lifestyle is unrighteousness, do you guys know God's word says you're not inheriting the kingdom of God? Do you guys know that? Yes or no? You know that? Right? That's Paul's talking to the church. And they got a bunch of unrighteous things going. It says, hey, you guys don't know if your pattern of life is unrighteousness? You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Those who continue practice this as a lifestyle in unrighteousness. Look what he says next. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, nor effeminate. You know what effeminate there means? Effeminate by perversion. Transgender. Write it right in there. That's what it says. Nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you are washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. God transformed your life. He washed you, cleansed you, sanctified you, separated you unto God, gave you new life. This isn't the pattern of your life. If these are your continued practices, if you hold fast to these things, you embrace them wholeheartedly, these things, not that you haven't done them, and that not that you haven't had to address them in your life more than once, or even you're battling them now, but if that's what you accept, what you welcome in, what you embrace, something that's not shunned, according to the God's word, we are to shun these practices. 50% of the evangelical church today in America teaches that, no, God's word doesn't say that. These churches teach different meaning of God's word, for that would be unloving. Homosexuals are born that way. Drunkards, it's a disease, and they're saved. What does God call that? It's in over 50% of the churches today in America. They ordain homosexual pastors. They go through the biggest organizations in America on denominations, having discussions about how you handle it. God's word is clear, isn't it? It's not confused. It's all over the place. It's written definitively, they're not holding fast to what is good. What do you think happens to people that hold fast to what is not good, to what is false? This is why we have to have spiritual discernment. Not that we go tell them that they're evil and we go tell them that they're wrong and not that we go do that, but when we speak to people in these things that got these things going in their life, we go to God's word and say, God loves you. You need to repent, believe, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because did you see what it said in there? Those that their pattern of life are adulterers, idolaters, they worship something other in front as first other than God, thieves, covetousness, revilers, swindlers. Who in the room is dealing with their idol worship, their idolatry, where they've put something up above God? Nobody in the room's ever stolen anything? You never taken anything from anybody? Such were some of us, but God rescued us, changed us, gave us new life. Yes, we battle it, but it's not who we're characterized by. The church is saying, no, you can be characterized by all of this. It will be this, all of it, pretty soon, because God is love. And to preach that isn't to the love of Jesus Christ. Error will not save anybody. It won't help anybody. We should be brokenhearted and crying over how much this has infiltrated the church and how much we've just kind of like, well, for the sake of God's going to speak to our heart and minds. We're to keep separate from it. To be edified, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 2 as we close. I'll pick up here next week. Let's be encouraged to desire discernment, to desire what God desires for us to have. Let's be encouraged to love God first and then love others. God's word says in Proverbs 2, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. Come knowledge and understanding. That's the truth of God's word. Verse 7, he stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equality in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. Father, we thank you for this morning and for the foundation that you have settled in Living Word Fellowship in this church, that we stand upon the truth of your word. We are definitive about what you say because you are definitive. Our convictions are to hold fast, to embrace wholeheartedly your truth into our lives, as hard as that can be at times. Not to be unloving as we would encourage others to see that truth or understand that truth when we recognize that that's not in their heart and mind. And we're not dogmatic about peripheral things in a sense, like when will the rapture have? Will it be post-trib, pre-trib, those kind of things? Lord, we have a conviction, but we're not dogmatic on that, but about the truth of Christ and who we were before your rescue and who we are after your rescue and what you've called us to be and do and live in this life. 1 Peter 1:23 says, the word of God preached to you, that's verse 25, and 23 says, caused you to be born again. Only the truth of your word that you would use that would bring people to be born again with an imperishable seed, the seed of Christ, if you will. We want to be faithful to it, stand firm in it, hold it, embrace it. We want to shun the things that Lord, that you would give us discernment that we don't need to hang on to. For your glory, Lord, for your glory, in Christ's name, amen. Thanks for today, guys.